One of the major functions which ICC has undertaken, that is looking to the digital transactions being performed by all countries in the world today. They have prepared a guide to e-contracting. In the past, contracts were discussed, negotiated over a number of period of time. But today, no, all those are out. There is a direct mail-to-mail e-contracting being done. And therefore, ICC has provided e-terms in 2004. To explain how you can apply it to your export or sale contract. It is not the final contract, no. It is only a guide to do e-contracting. Why? Because ICC recognized that speed and ease of electronic contracting is a balance of risk and chances to virtually all parties involved. These can more easily be allayed in-house through sensible, practical, and flexible precautions. The guide to e-contracting provides steps which might be taken by businesses to reassure them when contracting electronically. Just by agreeing to abide by e-terms 2004, the parties make it clear to any arbitrator or judges resolving any disputes that they do not have a dispute about the technical terms through which they had reached a contract. They don't have a dispute on the technical terms. They are, of course, designed to enhance the legal certainty of contracts made by electronic means. They provide you with two short articles, easy to incorporate into your contract, which makes it clear that you and your contemporary party agree or intend to agree to a binding electronic contract. Mind you, binding electronic contract or digital contract. Of course, they do not affect the subject matter of your contract at all. They do not interfere with the subjective terms that you may have to put in and you agree with each other. They simply facilitate the procedure and the use of electronic means in concluding a contract. They can be used for any contract involving the sale or other disposition of goods, rights or services, and they can be used whenever you draft contracts by electronic means. Construction of an e-contract. E-terms do not provide the parties with contractual terms for transaction which they wish to conclude. No, they don't give you the terms. They simply facilitate, I would say, they are mere formats which facilitate the conclusion of that transaction through electronic means. The parties must then consider what business they actually wish to transact and under what terms. They have got to put in their individual terms into that format. It is the same as parties having a series of face-to-face meetings and eventually they will draft a contract, record the terms, the rights and obligations to which they want to commit themselves. Those terms will on occasion be contained in a one-off tailor-made contract and on other occasions in a standard form contract intended for future and frequent use. Likewise, in the electronic world, business will need to give thought as to how to anticipate terms which they are likely to use in a routine fashion, and how to draft terms which will differ from contract to contract, and how to construct an electronic vehicle or website which allows for both simultaneously. How precisely this is done will differ from business to business, depending obviously on the resources available, but also on whether the company's transactions are more frequently routine or only one-off. The speed and savings which the new technologies promise are more likely to be realized if care and attention are invited at the early stages of designing a website, software, and business process, which impact on the conclusion of electronic contracts. There are various guidelines in the format. The difference is that in the electronic medium, a website is as much a marketing tool as it is a means of contracting. Your website can be your marketing tool. Therefore, in designing your website or other mechanisms for electronic contracting, it is useful to bear the following factors in mind. Make sure that information is easy to find. Users of a website or an e-service should be able to easily find and navigate through the significant legal terms. Make sure that related terms are gathered together in one electronic place, logically structured. Picture of his rights and responsibilities in different areas of the contract. Make sure that the website contains early on an easy to use flow chart, flow for the contract and the contract process. The early pages should contain the overall structure of the contract with easy hyperlinks to particular areas for ready reference to specific terms. Arbitration, of course, as I told you before, it is a process in case of disputes. And ICC is one of the biggest arbitration centers for international contracts. ICC arbitration assures the best quality of service as far as arbitration is concerned. From straightforward ordinary sales contract to highly intellectual property matters, joint ventures, share purchase arrangements, or state finance construction projects. Here, the only requirement is that parties to a contract, treaty, or separate arbitration agreement need to consent to use ICC arbitration. This is handled through a contract or treaty before a dispute arises. While maintaining strict neutrality, ICC will disclose information concerning a case only to those involved. Like all other dispute resolution services, they base their arbitration solutions or rules that follow international best practices. Corporate responsibility. This is a new thinking which has come out very recently. Of course, in the past, it was being done by various large organizations in their organizations. But ICC has brought out an entire concept that each party to an international trade should have a corporate responsibility approach. Concept of corporate responsibility, which is also referred to as corporate social responsibility, is responsible business conduct. It is a voluntary commitment by business to manage its activities in a responsible way, in a responsible manner. The approach is a comprehensive set of values and principles which are integrated into business operations through management policies and practices and by means of decision-making processes. The role of business in an open market economy system is to create wealth. Of course, that is the basic concept which has come down from ages. But in the past, it was creation of wealth only for the owners or proprietors of that business. But with the open market economy system, it has now become increasingly a responsible proposition to create wealth not only for yourself, but for the shareholders, for the employees, for the customers and society as a whole. No other human activity matches a private enterprise in its ability to marshal people, capital, and innovation under controlled risk-taking activities. To create meaningful jobs and produce goods and services profitably, profit being the essential to long-term business survival and job creation. Yes, there are certain people who think or feel that the word profit is a dirty word. But look at any business. For any business to survive on a long-term basis and continue job creation, profit is essential. And these principles have become more explicit and provide the framework for corporate behavior beyond their legal obligations. Your legal obligations as available in the respective countries is something totally different. This is a framework for corporate behavior beyond the legal obligations. Growing number of companies have been adding social and environmental indicators to their economic and financial results in reports that are often entitled social reports. Sustained profits and principles are mutually supportive, and an increasing number of companies view corporate responsibility as an integral to their systems of governance. This is part of the requirement for doing business in today's global economy. It has got business principles, yes. These business principles should be developed and implemented by the companies themselves. They have got to formulate their own business principles. And the company's principles must be sufficiently flexible to reflect the diversity of firm as well as that of their suppliers and business partners. Companies that do not have formal business principles often have unwritten values guide their operations, and they may have internal policies, monitoring, appraisals, and reporting procedures. Business principles themselves are supplemented by internal guidelines, internal procedures on specific issues such as environmental management, safety and occupational health of the staff and the society, or other ethics, and above all, integrity to the society where they are operating. There are external code of conducts. International activities of companies have demonstrably contributed to the positive aspects of globalization. Through their international activities, companies often make an important contribution to improving the living and working conditions in the developing countries. By investing in production facilities and purchasing goods and services from local firms, they help to create jobs, develop skills and know-how, act as a vehicle for the transfer of technology, and improve productivity and competitiveness. Thereby, with all these aspects, they are strengthening the economy in the countries where they operate. And that is where ICC urges the governments to reject demands to impose codes on the companies. ICC says, let the companies formulate their own business codes. Individual company principles, yes. Today, many of the large MNCs, by far the most important considerations are whether to make their voluntary business principles explicit or not. Legal implications of individual companies' principles should also be considered, since having empty promises or claims could expose the company to liability in the development of their own individual formal practices and business conduct. They can be held liable if they make false claims and promises or empty promises. SMEs, small and medium enterprises, make an essential contribution to improving economic and social conditions where they operate. For instance, through the provision of employment and training. Companies must therefore be given effective freedom of choice to subscribe to such codes. But there are broad recommendations. Though ICC does not formally endorse any code other than its own, following there are certain listed research and reference purposes. The OECD guideline for multinational enterprise annexed to the Declaration of International Investment and Multinational Enterprises of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. This is a research document which can form a recommendation for corporate responsibility or business responsibility. ILO, International Labour Organization, has a tripartite declaration of principles concerning multinational enterprises and social policy. Then there is Cox principles, Global Sullivan principles. These are all research documents which are only recommendatory in nature. Apart from that, there are specific or sectoral guidance also, like the Responsible Care Program, especially for the chemical industry. The series principle from the Coalition of Environmentally Responsible Economics. Guidelines or codes suggested by governments and NGOs, etc. Yes, governments have also set up certain guidelines. NGOs also have set certain guidelines. European Parliament resolution on EU standards for European enterprises operating in the developing countries towards a European code of conduct. Then there is principles of global corporate responsibility. These are benchmarks for measuring business performance. Amnesty International, you must all have heard about fighting for human rights. They have guidelines for companies. There are various UN declarations of core values that have a broad sweeping impact. These are Universal Declaration of Human Rights, ILO or International Labour Organization Declaration on Fundamental Principles and Rights at Work, and Rio Declaration on Sustainable Development. But the most important factor is a voluntary approach. A company must develop its own understanding of how its principles or behavior relate to external expectations or to external codes or guidelines. Internal monitoring of compliances, external reporting of performance, and independent assurances are matters that should be decided by the companies themselves. Only when the companies are profitable can they contribute effectively to the improvement of social conditions by creating job and economic growth. And most important is they should have a peaceful condition, legal certainties, and good human relations within the company are key elements of business success. They create stability and confidence that encourage investment, improve productivity, and foster loyalty. The responsible business conduct may place companies in a more favorable legal and political environment. This may also improve your long-term profitability and ability of companies to obtain a greater share of world markets. Companies that have had experience in developing their own voluntary business principles have found that adopting such principles may set a positive example by encouraging emulation and the spread of best business practice worldwide. They anticipate new external pressures from regulatory bodies, improve relations with the regulatory bodies, and be helpful regarding decisions on operating licenses. Yes, countries may give you operating licenses. You've got to be helpful in understanding them so that you reduce exposure to litigation or criminal and civil sanctions. You also reduce risk of negative publicity, boycotts, and tarnished public images. Thereby, you improve your product image, brand name, and reputation. You increase morale, transparency, and trust amongst company personnel. It helps you to diffuse new technologies and best management principles, induce better supervision of the supply chain management overall. Thereby, they reduce operating costs through systematic management of resources, and ultimately they'll reduce the cost of doing business, attract new business through this rigorous business integrity policies. It will also help increase productivity by means of a motivated workforce. A motivated employee will give you the best productivity. And of course, all this will lead to attracting a new range of investors to you. Corporate responsibility codes, which you should try to adopt. If a company is considering whether to develop its own business principles or to support external codes of conduct, you have to take the following step. First, confirm the chief executive officer or board commitment to give priority to responsible business conduct. And here, a basic requirement is the commitment of senior management to treat responsible business conduct as a corporate priority. State company purpose and agree on company values. Here, responsible business conduct is built upon the values and goals of the company itself, as well as on the legal requirements and expectations of the stakeholders. You have to identify the key stakeholders. The business principles set out what companies see as their responsibilities to employees, shareholders, customers, business partners, and other groups in society. Mind you, these are all your stakeholders. In any given company, these are your basic stakeholders. And you have got to find out from stakeholders what issues are important to them. Stakeholders are defined as constituents that have a direct stake in the company. An employee has a stake, an investor has a stake. And of course, you have got to define business principles and policies. Each company needs to think through its principles for itself, rather than just taking an existing code off the shelf and then finding it's not suiting the company. Companies should also consider legislation, social expectations, reputation indicators, risk managements, bottom line benefits, corporate and product image, and strategic advantages. You've got to establish implementation procedures and management systems. First of all, companies must raise awareness among their own personnel and their stakeholders if business principles are to be effective and command wide support. Processes or formal management systems for developing, adopting, and implementing individual principles should therefore include internal consultations and communications. There are also international standards for these systems, such as those of the International Organization for Standardization. Then, benchmark against selected external codes and standards. Most important is government mandated or other external codes are unlikely to be a viable alternative to voluntary business principles developed by the country itself. Although these may have significant values as external benchmarks, therefore, companies should be very selective, bearing in mind their needs first. You have to set up an internal monitoring unit. Yes, unless and until you don't monitor, you won't get anything out of it. Corporate policies and their implementation need to be kept under constant review to keep abreast of developments in the technological and scientific understanding. It is for the company to assess its social performance through internal consultations and periodic review by the management. It is the company's responsibility to check that its business principles are being acted upon, and a key way for companies to create confidence and trust in their commitment to responsible business conduct is to provide timely and reliable information on their financial, environmental, and social performance, and to communicate this to their stakeholders. Use language that everyone can understand. Principles, policies, and guidelines may be clearly expressed, particularly if the material is to be translated. The same is true for any external reports or research papers. Above all, you have got to set pragmatic and realistic objectives. Objectives should be those which can be followed and adhered to by you, your company, and the stakeholders. These recommendations require the commitment of executives running the business and the development of expertise and internal processes. Above all, the responsible business conduct requires a sustained effort by everybody in the company. A key element of company's organizational development is, of course, promoting the importance of responsible business conduct and ensuring that new managers are well versed in this area. Next, we go to World Chambers Federation. Within the aegis of the ICC, there is a World Chambers Federation. It is a very unique global forum for uniting the worldwide network of more than 12,000 chambers of commerce and industry of individual countries. You know, in India, you have got Indian Merchant Chambers, you have got Bombay Chamber of Commerce, you have got Maratha Chamber of Commerce and Industry, you have got CII, you have got FICCI, and you have got FIO, Federation of Import-Export Organizations in India. These are our local chambers of commerce, and they in turn have got into the network as memberships of the World Chambers Federation. The main aim is to facilitate exchange of best practices and the development of new global products and services for the chambers. Not for trading, but for the chambers to follow. And most important, to foster international partnerships between the chambers and other stakeholders to help local business grow. This is a non-political, non-government body with the members comprising local, regional, national, bilateral, and transnational chambers of commerce, as well as public law, private law chambers. It's a very big think tank. Their main objectives are facilitating the role of chambers of commerce as local business support agencies, administering the international guarantee chain of ATA Carnets. Now, ATA Carnet is a document. It's a customs document which allows duty-free, tax-free, temporary import of goods like exhibition materials, tourist cars, etc. No customs duty is required to be paid if you have got an ATA Carnet. improving the capacity of chambers in issuing certificates of origin. World Chambers Network is a website platform with services which includes global chamber directory, business opportunities promotion service chamber, trust business accreditation program, etc., etc. And also chamber professional and institutional development services within the Chamber of Commerce themselves. The WCF organizes a World Chambers Conference every 2 years in different regions of the world. And this Congress is the only international forum for chamber leaders and professionals to share best practices, exchange insights, develop networks, address the latest business issues affecting their communities, learn new areas of innovation from chambers around the world. And the Congress is the ideal place to establish institutional ties and promote trade and investment opportunities from attending companies. Companies also attend as representatives of the Chamber of Commerce. The Congress addresses some of the most significant global issues of our time, from sustainability and diversity challenges to the slowing global trade and also digital growth. They have a world trade agenda. And this agenda aims to define multilateral trade negotiation priorities for business, help the government to set a trade policy agenda for the 21st century that contributes to economic growth and job creation throughout the world, taking the world as a platform. They have to find answers to the current economic crisis and drive more effective trade talks, set concrete recommendations to advance global trade negotiations, and of course sound the alarm on protectionism. They also gather input and validation from the global business community on trade agenda priorities and recommendations for achieving a Doha victory, the Doha development round of the WTO is stuck up very badly. This World Trade Agenda is now trying to bring some form of decision on this Doha round of talks. Thank you.